shall we open the Word of God and read thereof from Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, we read the verses 17 through 28. Hebrews chapter 7, and we start to read at verse 17. And there we read God's holy word in Hebrews 7, starting at verse 17. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily, verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. So far the reading of God's holy word. The text for the sermon you find in Hebrews 13. In Hebrews 13. And the text is verse 8. Verse 8, where we read, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday and today and forever. So far. Beloved congregation, we have now come to what has been considered to be the most well-known text of the Epistle to the Hebrews, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The immediate setting of the text may be clear to us, because the previous text we saw at the prayer service, the previous verse that speaks of remembering those who have brought the word of God in the past, that we are to remember them and their faith, their walk, their word, and the end of their lives. And we are to keep their doctrines and this memory close to our hearts. We are to hold fast what has been instructed to us in the past. And how can we do that? Well, the answer lies in the text. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That he who invigorated previous generations is the same now, and he will be the same tomorrow, forever. And so this text calls us to focus on the Lord Jesus, because he is the source of all spiritual life. He is the source of all grace and strength. He teaches to persevere. He teaches to hold fast. It's by what Hebrews said the chapter before, looking unto Jesus, Again, such a well-known text, the author and finisher of faith. But the Lord Jesus, He is the one who is always the same. Life comes from Him because He is the light. And He is the life. He is the light. He is salvation. He is the resurrection. He is all in all. He it is who makes a person faithful to the Lord and His Word. And upon Him must our attention be riveted. You know, you and I can often think, yeah, the previous days were actually better. But Scripture says something else. Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. You see, every age has its own struggle. And every age has its own challenges. But every age also has the same truth. And the truth is, the Lord Jesus, He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And with the Lord Jesus, these Hebrews could persevere regardless of what they had to face. In Him is strength to do all things. And maybe you wonder, how can I carry on? Maybe you find for your own estimation it's getting too much. Maybe you find the pressure to be so strong upon you, and the affliction and the assault, and maybe you are weary and you wonder, how can I carry on? How can I carry on the spiritual battle I am in? How can I be faithful to the Lord and His Word? Well, the answer is in this text, through Jesus Christ. He is always the same. He is always enough. He is always more than enough. And His grace is always sufficient. He is always there to carry His people to the old age I will carry, I have carried, and I will carry. And that Jesus is enough. That's sealed at the Lord's Supper. That's underscored at the Lord's Supper. For there you see the signs of His death, the signs of His payment. And because of His payment that always remains the same, therefrom flow forth all the other blessings of God's grace, of strength, of mercy. It's His atonement. It's His payment for sin. There lies the anchor of a child of God. He gave Himself for me. And with God, with Christ, God gives all things you need. So we meditate on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see various pointers. We see His person. His person of Jesus Christ, who is the same. Look at His person. We see the most blessed person that ever walked on the face of this earth, Jesus Christ. He was sent into this world, we know, to save that which was lost, to give His life as a ransom price for sin. And we can say so many things about His person, can't we? But we'll say one thing coming from our text. What our text is holding up to us, He is the same. The same. In the midst of all the changing generations, He is the same. The Lord's people have an unchanging God. God is immutable And that's why they will be saved, His people, in the midst of all the changes that take place in life and the changes that take place in this world, the Lord Jesus remains the same. His people leave their place and are taken to be where He is. His servants are removed, but He is always the same. And when previous generations are no longer here, He is still present. And where your godly parents are no longer here, or grandparents are here, He is still here. He is the same. He is the great I Am. He is the great Jehovah God. Jesus Christ, He shares in the eternity of God. For He Himself is the eternal Son of God. He is without beginning. He is without ending. And so the apostle here in this chapter, Hebrews 13, at the end, he is, as it were, referring back to the beginning of Hebrews. Hebrews 1:12, "Thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And that's again a quote from Psalm 102, verse 27. "Thou art the same, and thy years shall have no end." The Lord Jesus is the unchanging God of God, without beginning, without end. He is the same in His person. He is the same in His characteristics, in His attributes. He is the same in His love. We could mention all the attributes. We can't do that now. But we just focus on His love. His love is the same. And especially at the Lord's Supper that is sealed. His love. Whereby He loved His own to the end, that He gave Himself. His love is unchangeable. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And His word, the word that He speaks, is the same. It's always valid. It's the everlasting word. Psalm 119:89 says His word is forever settled in heaven. And His power, it's not diminished. His truth is unchangeable. His wisdom is constantly perfect. Psalm 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." There's no reason for God to change, because He is all-powerful and He knows all things. Nothing takes Him by surprise. We worship the immutable, unchangeable God, and that's such a comfort. He will never forsake the works of His hands. He seals His love, His grace to them. God is not fickle. He is not swayed by emotion. All the idols, all the other gods that people have imagined, they are fickle. You can't depend on them. But God is good. God is loving. God is faithful. He is reliable. He lives always to hear the cries of the needy. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. They are to be trusted. You can count on Him. And His faithfulness is sealed at the supper. And as you see the signs of broken bread and the wine poured out, it is the Lord calling you, saying, "Look unto Me, My people, at the supper. I have loved you with an everlasting love." And I, the Lord, change not, and therefore you, children of Jacob, unworthy, but you have not been consumed, because I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's his person. But let's look at another aspect of the text. And we look at his service. Because we look a bit further into the text. And we see the service that this unchangeable God gives. We see it in his names. Jesus Christ. Jesus Savior. Christ Anointed. It's the service of salvation that he gives. It's the service of saving lost sinners. And that service is determined by him being the Christ, being the prophet to explain his truth to sinners' hearts, to sending his Spirit to witness in their hearts that his word is the truth. And his is an unchangeable truth. And that's why any new doctrine that people think they've all of a sudden found can never be true. Because his doctrine is the same always. And yet the experience of it is new every time again. But it's permanent. He is the same as prophet. But he is also the Savior in the sense that he is the priest. He is the lasting priest of his church. And we've seen that many times in Hebrews, haven't we? Hebrews 6:20, Jesus and high priest forever. Hebrews 7:17, thou art a priest forever. Hebrews 7:24, he has an unchangeable priesthood. Hebrews 7:27, he offered up himself, he is consecrated forevermore. And Hebrews 7:25, he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He is a continual priest, the only high priest of his people. He saves sinners also as Christ, anointed as king. He is king forever. He rules. And he enters majestically lives of people. And he blows away every opposition. And he takes control of that life. And those people are made very willing in the day of his power. Oh, do you know him as a prophet testifying to you, as a priest paying for you, and as a king ruling over you? How blessed. Well, be comforted, because he, as a prophet and a priest and a king, is the same always. It was his delight to come into this world to lay down his life as a ransom price. As the Christ yesterday, he from all eternity lived in the glory of God, but he at a certain time, he came. And that's past now. He came. He entered into our existence. And he laid down his life as a ransom price. He did it once and for all. It's a finished and accomplished fact. He gained redemption for a world lost in sin. He did it. That's the Jesus Christ of yesterday and the Jesus Christ of today. Well, he is the risen Son of God. He is seated now at the right hand of God in heaven. And through his Holy Spirit, he saves. And he is gathering a church out of the lost human race. That is what he's doing now. And as the Christ forever, we see him as the Christ who shall return. That's still to come. And he will judge the living and the dead. and he will establish his kingdom, which shall remain forever, and usher all his people, who all come out of great tribulation, and they are all gathered to be with him, and they will all rejoice forever, permanently, in him, the fountain of life and light and glory. He is the same always. And so he is here at the supper amongst us, giving himself to hungry and thirsty souls. He is the same now to lift up your head, you weary one. He is now the same to draw you who stand afar off, you who wonder, is he mine or is he not? Am I his or not? He is the same in drawing love. And he is saying, look, I am your salvation alone. I am Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Anointed One. My promises will not fail. I'm giving you here the piece of bread and the sip of wine as a seal upon my promises. And my faithfulness will never depart from you. And looking unto Jesus, you see him as the rock upon which you may stand firm. His word is sure. His promises are valid. His purpose is fixed. His kingdom is stable. Your future, children of God, is firm. Sure in him, anchored in Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But finally, let us focus more what we already mentioned, that seal that he gives. Because that is a very rich aspect to focus our attention on. That the Lord Jesus is the seal laid upon all those who love him. Because at the Lord's Supper especially, there Christ gives his seal upon his perfect work for you, people of God. You see, the seal of his abiding love. The seals of broken bread and poured out wine. And it means he gave himself for you. He gave himself for you as a lasting, permanent payment. He gave himself for you as a ransom price, and the sins have been paid. The guilt has been atoned, and your iniquity has been removed. God counts you as just, as righteous. It's the imputed righteousness laid upon you. In that sign of bread and wine, you see how God sent his Son to die for you. Think of that. Let that overwhelm you. He shed his life blood for me. He who was only good, he who had done never anything wrong, he came into this world to be the Lamb of God, to be slaughtered. He had no sin, and yet he was slaughtered. He came to be the only meriting cause of salvation. And you who see Jesus as your Savior, always return to this sacrifice as a payment for all your sins. Dwell on that, because in heaven the saints will dwell on that as well. Thou hast redeemed us, purchased us unto God by thy blood. And as at the Lord's Supper, we see the blood of Christ shed for you. It's a perfect payment, a full remission of all your sins. That means when you hide behind Christ, Christ, when Christ stands before you with those signs of bread and wine in between you and the Father, and God looks at you through the broken body and the shed blood of His Son, then God the Father looks at you and says, I see no sin in you. And I see that you have perfectly fulfilled all I demanded of you to do. I declare you to be just. I declare you just. And that state is permanent. Because the Lord Jesus brought a sacrifice once and for all. He's never going to do it again. Because He doesn't have to. His payment is enough. It's the same. Always valid. The same. The same for you. And that's why you have a right to enter into everlasting life. It's an imputed right, a granted right. But it's a right that you don't deserve, that's given you. But it's firm. It has to be like this because of the fullness of the sufferings of Christ. Because Christ bore for you, believer, He bore the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth. And He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness. And when you're at the Lord's Supper, you think of how the weight of your sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden. You think how He was bound that you would be freed. And this is a lasting imputation. Your salvation rests in His sacrifice. And so at the supper you think how He suffered innumerable reproaches that you would never be put to shame. Never be forsaken. And you think how He was forsaken so that you would never be forsaken. Free. Acquitted. It's liberty. Imagine you're in court and there are three crown attorneys and they all testify against you with scathing, condemning testimonies. And those three crown attorneys, they are real. They are the law. They are the devil. And they are your conscience. And the judge is on the throne. The judge is God the Father. And you have to confess, yes, I am guilty. And I deserve to be condemned forever. And then the judge upon the throne gives the verdict, and the verdict is innocent. No punishment. You're a free man. That's justification. Because of the interposition, the intermission of Christ Jesus. He took your place. And imagine, as would happen in the olden days, that people would be condemned to terrible deaths. Deaths, even by torture. And you see Him taking your place. And you see Him bound on the rack. And you see Him being broken. And in the midst of all His sufferings, where you should have been, He is still smiling at you with love. With tears, not because of His suffering, but because of love for you. And that He is glad that He can do this for you. That's Jesus. He rejoiced that He could do it. And he still rejoices. He didn't do it reluctantly. He didn't have second thoughts. No, he went through it to the very end willingly, gladly, lovingly. Could you stand there with dry eyes if you had to see that? Would you ever doubt such love? Do you think that such love can really change? The sufferings and death of Christ, they underscore His permanent love, always the same in pardoning grace. His payment is applicable. And therefore, let us not be moved. Let us have grace. And let us reflect upon that precious sacrifice. He for me, my body. He gives His body for me. Amen.